Hello and welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast. I'm your host, Robin Hackney, and I'm so happy that you're here. This podcast is a place for conversations about balancing a healthy lifestyle and being happy. More specifically, happy hour. Together, we'll explore all things wellness and wine. I hope you learn a little, laugh a lot, and along the way, know you're not alone on this balanced wellness journey. Ready to jump in? Pour something in your glass that makes you happy because it's time for Spandex and Wine. Hello and welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast. I'm your host, Robin Hackney, and I want to say thank you so much for being here. So when I started this podcast, my guest today was one of the first people I thought of and wanted to have on the show. I have to admit, I was a bit nervous to ask her, even though we've known each other since childhood. She is so well accomplished. She's created an amazing life for herself by following her passion of exercise, nutrition, human behavior, and psychology. You'll hear how she started in the fitness industry, but also how her quest for knowledge and love for learning led her to her successes. It is very much my pleasure to welcome Dr. Sabrina Joe. Well, hello and welcome to the Spandex and Wine podcast, Sabrina. I am thrilled to have you here. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. I think it's been 100 years since we've seen each other.
It has been a long time. Not that we're that old, but...
No, but it feels like 100 years.
Yes, yes, it does. And for those of you listening, the reason that I'm so excited to have Sabrina here is because she's a pretty big deal. All right. So those of you,
No,
you are. So those of you that are in the fitness industry, when I say this, you will understand. So Sabrina is the senior director of science and research for ACE. And so for those of you that don't know what ACE is, Sabrina, would you mind just explaining what ACE is?
Sure. Sure. ACE stands for the American Council on Exercise. And we are an organization that educates, certifies, and prepares fitness professionals, health coaches, to actually, you know, do their practice. So we are a nonprofit organization and one of the few accredited organizations that provide this service for the, you know, fitness industry and for health coaches as well.
Right, right. Oh, and besides that status at ACE, your accolades are just so impressive. You have your PhD, and I'm looking at my notes, your PhD in health and physical activity. You are National Board Certified Health and Wellness Coach. You have all kinds of certifications and just so impressive with what you've done. And I don't even know how you started in the fitness industry. So will you take me through that journey?
Oh my goodness. Oh, I have to think. Okay, yes, I can take you through that journey. And you're very kind for saying all that, all those things. Okay, so let's see. This is, of course, when I had most contact with you back in high school and before, actually. But when I was in high school, I started teaching aerobics, which is what we called it way back then.
Yes, yes.
At a small studio. And that's kind of where I, you know, found my love for fitness and realized that I could go to college for that related degree, which was exercise science. So since high school, I've been doing something related to fitness. And then, you know, throughout the years, it just kind of morphed into some academic settings, teaching, and then it morphed into science and research, which is kind of where my passion is now. But oh my goodness, I've been doing this for over 30 years. So
that's awesome.
It's hard for me to describe all the things I've done. But I can kind of summarize it by saying when I started in the fitness business, everything was very much about anatomy and physiology and learning the correct way to do things and teaching people properly and safely and effectively. But over the years, it has morphed into more of a focus on behavior change and the psychology of physical activity, because helping people exercise and showing them how to do things correctly is great. However, people need to understand and actually develop exercise as a lifestyle habit or a lifestyle choice before they can really reap the benefits. Because if mm-hmm. they don't actually do it, then they're not going to reap the benefits. And I found that the psychology of it is really powerful, sometimes more powerful than just the knowledge of exercise alone. Mm-hmm. So that really has been my focus in the last, I don't know, I'd say decade or so.
Sure. Well, and I saw a post that you had, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said something like, I used to tell my clients the importance of lifting weights, but now, I mean, basically you let them come to that conclusion and you let them figure out what's right for them and go from there.
Yes. Yes. So when I first started this journey of educating people about fitness, that's what it was. I considered myself the expert, the educator. I'm here to tell you what to do and how to do it, and everything's going to be great, because I assumed that that's what they needed from me. That's what they came to me for, was I'm the expert in fitness, so here I am going to teach you. And what we've learned about the psychology of physical activity and exercise is that autonomy and making your own choices and coming to your own reasons why and your own motivation is really what's going to sustain you in that activity, and has nothing to do with what I'm telling you or, you know, how I think you should do it. It really has to do with the individual and what they are coming to the table with. And when I say that, I'm talking about their motivation, their reasons why it's valuable and important to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh gosh. I mean, it's all about mindset. You have to be in the right place and you have to make those decisions for yourself. We can't do it for them. I've said right. that before. I would be so much more fit if I could just do it all for them and I'd be rich.
Yes. Yes. And in some ways that, you know, when I first started, that used to frustrate me, because typically maybe you train someone and you're with them for an hour, and then you maybe twice a week if you're lucky, right? So mm-hmm. the other, you know, 23 hours of that day, and then all the rest of the hours in the week, you're not with them and you can't do anything for them. And so what that means is it really is up to the individual to take on this important task and then be committed to it. And what that also means is that as the exercise professional, it's not up to me. It's up to them. And that kind of takes some pressure off of me. Right. I can be there to support. I can be there to guide and answer questions and give them the best programming possible. But in the end, it's really not up to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
in some ways that takes the pressure off.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny to me too, when clients say, oh, Robin, I have you to thank for this. Well, no, I didn't do the work. You did the work. You know, yes. I'm just your tour guide along the journey here.
Yes. So important.
Yeah.
But, and I'll admit, back in like, let's say the 90s, when I was really like doing this full time, most, you know, that was the bulk of my hours of the day, was spending time with people in the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, in the gym setting and so forth, that was really kind of how I approached things, was, you know, I'm here to teach you. And to the extent I still do that, I still feel like a teacher, but on very different terms. Mm-hmm. It's really more up to the client to express to me how they want this journey to unfold. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not so much up to me at that point.
Yeah. Well, and I think where we are in life now too, we've gone through changes and things in our bodies. So it's so much easier to relate to people once you've been there. I remember when I got done with my personal training certification, like, I don't know, the second weekend, you know, somebody has a hurt knee or hurt back or something like that. And I'm like, well, they didn't teach me about injury. I just thought everybody could do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and part of this job, this work is on the job training too, because you can read all the textbooks you want, but dealing with real people is always very different and interesting.
Yeah. So tell me what you've learned about your body and how you can help other people because of what you've learned over the years.
Oh my goodness. Well, one thing I've learned is that as we age, it takes much longer to recover and to heal between whether it's an injury or just workouts. And so I've had to approach my training in a more, careful or wise approach so that I build in the rest and recovery between workouts, which I wasn't so good at as a youngster. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is I've, heard that all my life, but you just don't really appreciate it until you live in that body.
Yes.
That is needing that extra time. So that's important. That said, I am really enjoying this part of life where I'm over 50 and, I'm still doing things, new things that surprise me. And I'm enjoying that approach of not feeling limited by age, just being a little bit smarter about how mm-hmm. I do things.
Absolutely. Yes. And I have people ask me all the time because of my demographics, they're, around my age, a little bit older. And they're always saying, okay, what's the best exercise for our menopause? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, gosh, I wish I had one answer for that. It has to work for you and your body. And it has to be something that you enjoy. What would you add to that?
Oh, around menopause and those types of things. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. I'm struggling with that now, and everyone has an individual journey with that. And what I would say is that the symptoms associated with estrogen decline are very unique for each individual, but when they do hit you and you're dealing with all that, they're very real. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the hot flashes or vasomotor symptoms and the brain fog and the joint pain, all that stuff makes, number one, sleep more difficult. Mm-hmm. So when you're not able to sleep, you're not able to get in that much needed rest and recovery if you're very active. So there's that. And then dealing with, as your body changes, the fact that resistance training is so important. It's so much more important, in my view, at this stage of life than it ever was before. Mm-hmm. So I think as a woman dealing with lifting weights, and I mean, lifting heavy weights for you, I think that's important. And I think if my clients are resistant to that idea, I really want to help support and guide them and let them know that it's okay to do that. And there are safe ways to do that. So I would say, dealing with the menopause issues, everyone's individual, lots of communication with your physician about what's right for you. But sleep and resistance training and eating enough protein, those are my top three recommendations for how to deal with this phase of life.
Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely. And I think that, where we are in life too, like we've gone through our own injuries, everyone at this point, you've had some type of injury. And if you haven't, wow, you're just something really special. So I think that's why some women are hesitant. And most of my people are women. So that's why I'm saying that, but they're hesitant to lift heavy because they think they're going to hurt themselves. So what would you say to that?
Well, when in a situation where I'm working with someone and they're hesitant or kind of afraid, like you said, to lift heavy weights due to injury, I think the best approach I can take in that situation is to help them understand the benefits, of course, of resistance training for all the reasons I just explained, but then offer movements that I know, because I know them as an individual, I know them as an individual. I think offering movements that are very safe and easily accomplished immediately. Mm-hmm. that I'm fairly certain won't cause any pain or discomfort, to help them be successful right away and realize, oh, I can lift, let's say we're doing a deadlift. I can lift this heavy weight 5 times and be done. Are you serious? That wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
So I guess the general answer is providing opportunities to be really successful really quick. And then over time, they kind of get used to the idea of what heavier lifting really is, and that it's not so scary.
Right, right. And it's so empowering.
It's
so much fun. Yeah, I agree. And you had mentioned the importance of protein. And I think that's another thing, that as we age, we eat less and less protein. And I don't think people understand why that's so important. So why would you say that protein is one of the things, one of the three things that you mentioned that we really need to focus on?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're fighting against when our estrogen declines is loss of muscle mass. And estrogen is actually very important in maintaining and building that. And one of the ways that your body makes muscle is with protein. So muscle is made up of protein, and there's a process called muscle protein synthesis that occurs when you eat protein, and the body uses that to build lean mass. And it's very simple. Think of it this way. If you don't have the ingredients to make something, if you don't have the ingredients to make muscle, protein is a huge ingredient, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in fact going to draw from your existing muscle mass to fuel protein-related functions in the body, which means you're losing muscle mass if you're not eating enough protein, just by living life. So I'm not even talking about like eating protein just to support your weight training. I'm talking about eating enough protein to support regular physiological things that happen as we start to age. And honestly, most people aren't getting the recommended amounts of physical activity and resistance training and aerobic activity. So that probably means that most people are starting off on this menopause journey already a little bit deficient in protein and muscle mass. So all the more reason, the good news is all the more reason to build that muscle mass with resistance training and eating enough protein.
Yes. Yeah. It's kind of like making a recipe, and if you're missing the main ingredient in the recipe, well, you're not going to get the turnout that you would like. So,
so true. It literally is like the amino acids and the proteins that you eat are the building blocks of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not running through your bloodstream, if they're not in there, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So over the years and the trends that you have seen, and then COVID hitting, like you had said that most people aren't getting the physical activity that they should be getting. Do you think that that's because of COVID? Do you think that's a thing that people are just using that they're blaming it on?
No, because this has been happening for decades. Like ever since the first public health recommendations about physical activity came out, maybe it was the early 90s, maybe it was late 80s. I don't know. Ever since then, people just aren't getting the recommended amounts. I think the statistic currently is that less than 25% of Americans meet all the recommendations for physical activity, which means that about 80% of people just aren't. And COVID definitely made it worse.
Yes.
So if you're already talking about a large swath of the population not being physically active, and then that becoming even reduced due to the pandemic, we're talking about some serious low levels of physical activity.
Yeah.
And I can only speak for myself, but I know that during the pandemic, one of the things that kind of honestly kept me mentally healthy mm-hmm. was at least going outside to walk, because that's what I could do. I couldn't really go anywhere else. And I was always encouraging people to just, at the very least, just do that. So whether or not, you know, that occurred across large populations, I don't think that happened, but that was one of the big recommendations, is to get outside in the open air and be mm-hmm. physically active. So
yeah,
I don't know where I was going with that, but
it all sounded great.
Thanks.
So going back to your role at ACE, do you also still teach classes? Like, tell me what a typical day in your life is.
No, I no longer teach group fitness per se. Every once in a while, I might teach a class for various reasons. But for the most part, my day is sitting in front of a computer on these types of Zoom meetings or reading and writing. That's the bulk, or in editing. So that's the bulk of my job. So my you know, priority is to get up, get my physical activity done, get it out of the way mm-hmm. so that when other things happen throughout the day that require my attention, I don't always have this physical activity task hanging over my head. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I approach my days, to make sure I get everything in.
Sure. And shifting from teaching more classes to less classes, sitting behind a desk or at a desk, I mean, that had to have been a huge switch for you. I know for me, I'm sitting more as I'm starting this podcast and doing all of that. And I'm like, oh gosh, I really have to get up and move. So do you have to set a reminder? Is it something that comes automatic to you because you've been telling your clients that forever?
No, it's part of who I am. And I think one of the things that reinforces the activity is, obviously, we all have times or stretches where we don't, because maybe we're traveling or we're ill or what have you. And I really notice it when I don't, like how I feel both physically and mentally when I don't exercise is honestly enough motivation for me to just want to continue. Because it has such an effect, like immediately, like as soon as I'm done with the workout, I just feel much better. So that's always kind of been my motivation. And doing it earlier in the day versus later has always helped me kind of stick with that.
Yeah, no, I agree. If I don't get it done in the morning, wow, it just feels like a task. Then it just feels, yeah, like a task.
Yeah. And I enjoy it, but still, it still feels like something that has to be done. And if the earlier I do it, the better.
Yes. I'm the same way. So when I was telling Dave, my husband, that you were going to be on the podcast today, he's like, oh, that's the lady that flies through the air. I'm like, what are you talking about? I had totally forgot that you had everything that you've done. So tell us about some of the fun fitness things that you've done. Not that fitness isn't fun the way it is.
That's hilarious. Yes. So, oh gosh, probably about, I guess, 10 years ago now, a little more than 10 years ago, I was actually living in Kansas City, Missouri. And there is this trend that was starting that I was really interested in. And it was called aerial acrobatics or aerial silks. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a Groupon. I don't even know if people have Groupons anymore, but I saw a Groupon for taking some free fitness classes or reduced rate fitness classes in the air, in the silks. And I was intrigued, so I checked it out and I became fast friends with the owner. And for about 10 years, I was an aerialist and I performed with a troupe. And it was a great way to do, you know, fitness activities. I became very strong, you know, upper body up in the air and stuff. But having said that, there came a point where, mid to late 40s, where I was like, man, I cannot, with my full-time job and everything else I'm doing, I cannot train enough. and recover enough and feel confident in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't keep it up. I loved it with a passion, but it was just something that I unfortunately had to give up because I just didn't feel safe anymore. And that's on me. I just didn't commit enough time to the training, but man, it was fun. But to your point, I love to try things that are kind of wild and different because I've been doing this for a long time and I get bored. So
yeah,
I try to do new things all the time. And I think that's part of, you know, what we learn as exercise professionals of being in the maintenance stage of fitness where you're committed, you're doing it, but it's also important that you find things that are new and interesting to keep you at it. So that was one of the things that I used to do.
Yeah. Well, new and fun things also that you're doing, at least it's new to me. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but you also sing in a band.
Yes. That is a relatively recent addition to my life for about 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. That's so cool.
Well, thank you. So funny story, during the pandemic, my husband and I, we're sitting around and everything to do. He's a wonderful musician. He plays bass and piano. And so we just started messing around doing some covers where he would play the piano and I would sing. Never done anything like that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 2 years after that, and we're actually almost 3 years now. We're in a band, we're in a rock band. And then we also do a little side project where it's just he and I. So, that's been super fun. It kind of gets out my, desire to perform, I guess. And when I first started doing it, I thought, oh, singing will be great because it's not that physical and I can still do all the other, you know, crazy activities I want. But it turns out singing is pretty physical.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just now learning that. So anyway, that's funny. Thanks for asking.
Yes. Well, it probably also helps with your creative side because that's one thing that I really enjoy about teaching classes is that I could be so creative. So to lose some of that, I'm sure you're creative with everything that you do in your work, but to be able to do something different like that too is probably really stimulating.
Yes. Yes. That's something that I guess if sometimes you take these questionnaires where you learn about yourself, what kind of person, what you value. And one of the things that always pops up for me is like learning. So I feel like if I'm not learning something new, that I'm not, I don't know, I'm being stagnant. So
yeah,
that's probably part of it.
Oh my gosh, which also speaks to all of your certifications, all of your degrees. So you are a doctor. That's so cool.
Yes. Thank you very much. That came about, let's see, I got my PhD in June of 2022. So not that long. And again, it's kind of, as I was mentioning earlier, the psychology of health and fitness became more and more interesting to me as the years have worn on. And so my PhD research, my dissertation was in kind of motivation, like what motivates people to not only start, but stick with exercise or physical activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the most fascinating thing you've found? Or just one piece? Doesn't have to be the most fascinating.
I think the big thing was the autonomy piece, where if you're in a situation, whether it be exercise or any new task that you're trying to learn to do, if you allow yourself or if your teacher or the environment allows you to have some autonomy in that situation, you get a much higher quality motivation. And to me, I've always very strongly felt that in my entire life, like from a little kid all the way up to now, if I'm in a situation where I feel very constrained and restricted, like, I don't know, for example, diet, if I'm told that I can only eat 3 foods, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah.
So it's gotta be Autonomy has always been an important part of kind of how I grow and learn. And so in my research, there's a theory called self-determination theory, which is a very well-studied and popular theory in motivation. And probably the very first thing you learn about in that theory is that autonomy is what will allow people to flourish and thrive mm-hmm. in whatever tasks they're doing. So to me, that's been fascinating. It's also helped me see things from my client's point of view, where they're often surprised if they come to me and they want advice and guidance. And I start asking them questions about, well, what do you want? What do you think you should do? And then they're confused, but then I think also relieved once they realize that they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yes. Yeah. And that's where the health coaching comes into, just helping them find the answers. Cause we all know what to eat. You know, we know that it's not good to go to fast food or have diet sodas or whatever. It's just doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, and being, you know, having enough, I guess education is the right word, but just having enough of the resources to understand what will work for you, and having the empowerment to make those choices with the guidance of a health coach, that to me is like the sweet spot of where you find like the place where you really flourish with whatever your goals happen to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I feel like so many people say, well, just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to eat. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. It's, I just need to be told. I'm like,
I know.
You don't need to be told. You don't.
Because here's what happens. Cause I've done that lots and lots. And what happens is you as the professional spend all this time mapping out this wonderful plan, and then you present it and they're really appreciative. And they try it for like 2 weeks and they're like, it just wasn't me. I'm like, well, of course it's not you, because it's what I made up for you.
Right.
So, but that's the hard part of what we do, I think. Because initially when you're meeting with someone and you're asking them all these questions and they're like, well, why are you asking me these questions? I want you to tell me. But the most important and the most difficult work is in the beginning when they really have to think about it. Like they kind of have to come to it. And that's hard. I mean, because if they could do it, they would have done it already.
Right.
They would have sat there and had these difficult conversations and thought experiments and they would have already done it. But
yeah,
sometimes they don't even realize that, you know, they have these choices.
True. Yeah. Oh, goodness. This is some good stuff. And I want to be respectful of your time, but I do have a couple more questions. So
yes, well, first of all, before you ask me these questions, I just want to say that I am so thrilled and happy for you. This podcast is awesome.
Thank you.
And that you, from what I can tell, you're thriving. I just, you know, I see all the stuff that you do on Facebook and you're just, as I always remembered, very happy and joyful and, you know, getting the most out of life. So I love that. So thanks for having me on.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. That is so nice of you. You are so full of life and so much fun. And I've been enjoying following you as well. So my question was, they're easy questions, but how did you meet your husband? I don't know that story.
Oh, well, my husband and I were on an online dating app. And we just met that way. I was living in Kansas City. He was living here in Lawrence. And that's it. I mean, it's really not that.
I was going to say you're twirling in the air, you fall, he catches you. I don't know. You're doing burpees next to each other in the gym. I'm not
nothing that exciting. It was just the app. And I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore because those apps are brutal. If anyone's ever been on them, I don't know, but
yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine. Oh gosh. Yeah. I mean, you know, I got married at 18. I went, if there would have been an altar in the high school, I probably would have gotten married right after graduation. Instead, it was like 20 days later. So,
oh my goodness. That's so amazing though. I love it that you've been together that long. And then, you know, I've been married a few times. And so I really feel like,
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, uninteresting story and the fact that we just, you know, met on an app and now we're happily ever after, I think is, you know, it's hilarious, but it is what it is. So yeah. I think I finally found the right person.
That's awesome. And sometimes just a basic connection. It doesn't have to be anything crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So my next question is, this is spandex and wine. And I try and, you know, find the balance between living life healthy and incorporating some fun happy hours and things. So how do you find the balance? Do you drink at all? Is that something that's in your life?
Yeah. I drink probably 2 days, 3 days a week. And I do love wine. I love a rich cab.
Yes.
My problem with it is that as I've gotten older, my body doesn't like it so much. The red wine, which I love, I can only drink in very small amounts because I just feel very like flushed and, yeah. You know, it's not, it's so frustrating. But I would say my favorite drink is actually just a very simple gin and seltzer water with lime.
Okay.
I like to do that every once in a while. And, yeah, so I don't know, in terms of like balancing it, I do find that, if I on average 2 or 3 days a week seems good. If I do more than that, I kind of feel like my body's telling me like, okay, you're not going to be happy if you keep doing that. So yeah. That kind of seems to be like my sweet spot.
Sure. Yeah.
How about you?
Oh gosh.
What's okay, your favorite?
Okay. If I am not drinking wine, then it's definitely tequila and I'll just have it. Yep. On the rocks. And I like the little true lime packets. I say it on almost every episode. Like I should be getting some kickback from this. But yeah. So if I'm not drinking wine and wine, oh gosh, it depends. If I'm out and about, it's usually a Chardonnay because I don't want my teeth to turn red.
Yeah.
But if I'm at home, then yeah, it's a cab or it is like a full bodied red. Yeah.
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 Cool. That's my favorite too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This has been wonderful. Any advice or anything else you would want to say to anyone out there that maybe is just getting started with exercise or is struggling with exercise? Any tips for them?
I think the most meaningful thing I could say to someone who's just getting started is find an activity that you truly enjoy. So whether that's pickleball or walking around your neighborhood or walking in the beautiful trees with the turning leaves, or working out in a gym, or finding a person who has the same goals as you and you want to spend time with them doing your physical activity. That's probably the most important thing you can do is find something that you enjoy and try not to be too frustrated. If you try a few things and you just don't like it, just keep trying. Cause you know, fundamentally our bodies are designed to move. And if you give it enough of a chance, eventually you will learn to enjoy it, especially if you focus on the things that happen immediately, like reduced stress levels, improved mood, things like that. And honestly, one of the biggest favors I did myself was disassociating exercise with weight loss and how I look, because there's so much benefit to moving your body that has nothing to do with the weight on the scale.
True. Yes. Yeah. I think too often we become a slave to the scale, and that number really doesn't tell us the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so sad, because I know for me that kind of when I was coming up in the fitness industry, that it was all about that. It was about how lean you can get, how much you weigh, what you look like naked, all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. See, now we can laugh about it. Oh gosh. Well, Serena, thank you so much for taking the time. I truly appreciate it. This has been wonderful.
Well, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. And I loved it when I heard from you, you reached out, and I was like, of course I want to be on your podcast.
Well, thank you. Bye. See, isn't she amazing? I thoroughly enjoyed our live conversation, but as I was going back and listening again, it taught me even more and insights that I'll be incorporating into my classes that I teach and time with my clients and my own training. And I can't wait to implement some of these things. I also can't say thank you enough to Dr. Sabrina Joe. I love to say Dr. Sabrina. I'll be sharing her information in the show notes. You can follow her and learn even more, but here are a few takeaways. And yes, I have condensed them because I wrote down so many that they could just be an episode of their own. One, it is important to understand and develop exercise as a lifestyle habit or choice before you can reap the benefits. The psychology of it might just be more important than the actions. Two, having space to make your own decisions will be what sustains you in a particular activity or exercise regimen, not what someone else tells you to do. It is up to you to take on the task of a healthy lifestyle and be committed to it. Three, as we age, it takes longer to recover and to heal. So approach your workouts in a wise manner to build in recovery days. Four, menopause is an individual journey and symptoms vary from woman to woman. Sleep, resistance training, and adequate protein are so important. Five, lift heavy for your body in a safe way to see results. As we age, we lose 3-8% muscle mass each year, and resistance training helps you maintain and build. Six, estrogen decline equals loss of muscle mass. Muscle is made up of protein. Muscle synthesis occurs when you eat protein and your body uses it to build lean muscle mass. Lack of protein forces your body to draw from existing muscle mass to fuel protein-related functions, which means you're losing muscle mass if you aren't eating enough. Seven, try new things to keep you active and find something you really enjoy. It can be trial and error to find the right thing, or you might be someone that needs to mix things up frequently. Our bodies are designed to move, so just move in a way that brings you pleasure. Again, thank you for listening, and thank you again to Dr. Sabrina. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you take a few seconds to do each or all of the following. First, follow or subscribe to Spandex and Wine. It'll help you so you don't miss an episode, and it'll help me because you won't miss any episodes. To do this, you'll just go to the podcast, click subscribe or follow wherever you are listening. Look for the plus sign or follow button, and this is one of the best things that you can do for the podcast, so thank you. If you'd also be willing to give a 5-star review, that would be amazing. And lastly, please share an episode with a friend or five to keep the love going. I appreciate you. Thanks.